Would you fold your hands and bow your head and let us begin in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, reveal to us the risen Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, and help us to proclaim him as risen Lord and Savior with our lives. In your risen name we ask this, Jesus, amen. Grace and peace to you from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. I like to come out here, and I will after a bit for the blessing, but because of my shaky legs, I'm going to try to hang on here for a little bit. I've been struggling all week and trying to figure out just how to say these words today. And I looked over there last Sunday and I saw the answer. If you look over there, you'll see a banner with a cross with two letters. The A is Alpha and the other one's Omega. We'll come back to that. It's Easter time, and we've been talking about Jesus meeting with people as he shows his hands and feet with the scars. He's in heaven now. When we get there, he'll still have the scars in his feet and hands, and he'll show you because he's a man. God became man so we could come then to be with God. He'll show you his hands and feet. They're scarred. He did that for us. We'll get more on that later. But it's Easter time, and almost alone, we think of the resurrection and the life to come only just a few days in the year. It's Easter time and almost alone that we sing great Christian hymns. And that's wrong. And I think we've forgotten about the original Sunday. Originally, God's people met on Saturday. In fact, his name was so holy that no one could utter it. They didn't put vowels on his name, so you couldn't say the words. The translators used the word Jehovah or Yahweh. But he's so holy and other that no one could use his name. But they used the Sabbath as a day of worship. Well, because Jesus died on Friday and was in the grave 3 days, and on Sunday morning he rose, they changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. Only some people haven't discovered that yet because the resurrection isn't real, apparently, to them. Now, in the early Christian church, Easter was the resurrection was the capstone. It was the highlight of the entire worship of the year. We need to remember that what is announced at Easter is Jesus has come in the flesh. God has come in the flesh as Jesus of Nazareth. A perfect person, completed a perfect life, took upon himself our sins. He was killed, died, buried, went to hell, came back and is alive and restoring himself. And now he's in heaven and has sent his spirit to talk to us. And if we believe that Jesus Christ is risen and living, then we believe that all of life is lived in his presence, that we're literally never alone, and that he's here now, and he'll be here walking us through death, and he'll be there when we get our new bodies in heaven. Well, let me back up now and get back to the... By the way, thank you for reading that long lesson. That's an unusual lesson. That's the words that the first Christian martyr spoke, Stephen, as he put the story together and told them what God had done. And they were so unwilling to hear it, they killed him. In those days, you take off your coat, get a stone, and they threw the stones until he wasn't breathing anymore. Isn't it interesting? They put their coats over by a young man whose name was Saul, whose name later became Paul, who became the person who wrote half the Bible, half the New Testament, rather, as God's working through all of this to bring about something new. I want to mention, before I go any further, when you read that, Eric, one thing you said was, God appeared to Moses. And he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, these are human beings on earth. I'm the God of these people. I want you to go down to Egypt and get my people out of there and come and worship me. And Moses had the daring ability somehow to ask, what's your name? And God answered, my name is, it's Inu, I am who I am. Tell them I am has sent you. Well, John, now as he writes the gospel, as the one who became very close to Jesus, as the one who wrote the book of Revelation, who was in that boat on the night when Jesus came and said, don't be afraid, it's I. That's a small I am. Or when he's talking to the woman at Samaria who said, this man has told me everything I ever did. Are you the Messiah? And he said, I am. Well, let me say this so that you can follow me. John, when he writes his gospel, writes it differently than the other gospel writers in that he begins his first chapter with all kinds of subjects, words, that are going to be issues in the rest of the book. It's called a prologue. He takes the passion story, he takes the resurrection, but then he has what is called discourses, where people are talking to each other and sprinkles them throughout the book. And above all, he picks this word that you read from the Old Testament, that God did marvels and signs. He takes seven signs of Jesus and he weaves those through his book and says, Jesus is this I am. And I'll get to this now so I don't forget it. I couldn't figure out what Jesus means today in saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There are so many ways. There are so many truths. Truth now is being taught as lies. People are hiding behind lies. And there are many lives to live. I just read where a life is there and it doesn't do anything until you as a person put that life to work. In other words, it's a life, but you have to make that life something. Well, that made it just more confusing. Except I remembered over there, A, it's the A and Z of our English alphabet. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. In that, in this first chapter of John, he takes these I ams and then he says the name, and then over here he'll show you what it means. Examples. In chapter 6, he has just fed 5,000 people, 5,000 men plus women and children. And he's discussing in this discourse with the Jews about what that means. They want to make him president because that would make a nice thing to have easy lunches like that. He said, you're following me because you want stomach food. He said, that's not what I'm talking about. He said, I am the bread of life. Then in chapter 9, he heals a man who's been born blind. In fact, the disciples asked, what happened to that man? Why was he born blind? Was his parents so especially sinful, or did he do something wrong? And you know what Jesus' answer? Neither one. It was so the glory of God could be revealed at this moment. And Jesus put some mud on his eyes and touched him and asked him to look, and he saw. He said, I am the light of the world in 8:12. And you go a little ahead and come to chapter 10. That was last Sunday. Jesus is at a festival and they're looking for a leader. And he says in chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd cares for the sheep. Okay? Then in chapter 11, you have his best friend Lazarus is ill. Actually, he died. And the disciples, Jesus are away, and Jesus tells his disciples, well, Lazarus is sick. He's ill. But we'll wait a bit. And one of them says, if he's ill, he'll get better. Then Jesus had to tell them plainly, Lazarus is dead. In fact, he died 4 days ago. Well, if he died 4 days ago, then why are we going back? They'll stone you like he stoned others. Jesus says, no. I go back so the glory of God could be revealed. And when he got, and this is what pastors, I'm sure, I always hate to see if you come late for something. He's met at the gate by Martha. And Martha says, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Mary says, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus simply asks, where have you laid him? They take him up to the tomb. And he says, and it says in that chapter, verse 25, I believe, Jesus cried. This is God in the flesh. He weeps at the horrible thing that death can do. But he says to Martha, and it didn't take much faith, but it took some faith. He said, Martha, make a demand that you roll the stone away. Jesus, oh, you can't do that, Lord, because there'll be a stench. There'll be a smell. He's been dead 4 days. Believe me, Martha, just have the stone rolled away. And then he prays. He says, Father in heaven, you see everything that I'm doing, and you do this for the purpose of people to believe. Do this now so that they can believe. And he calls out, Lazarus, come on out. And he's got grave clothes wrapped around him, and he starts shuffling out. I was at Lazarus' grave. I crawled down into the grave. When you get down, there's even another place a little lower where you can still go further. No one's going to go down there. And I sat here. Well, here comes the rest of the troop, and they all go down to this little lower place because they're curious like me to see this place that Lazarus was buried. Jesus simply says, take the bindings off and let him go. They had a dinner after that later, and Martha and Mary and Lazarus and Jesus were around the table. So he says to Mary, or to Martha, before this happens, he'll be raised at the resurrection. She said, I know that. But Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall live, and who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this, Martha? And Martha says, I believe you're the Christ, the one who's coming into the world. And this is where he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Suggesting that all of Israel is a picture of a vine, and like the church, we are hooked up and connected together. And then today, you come to chapter 16, and Jesus is alive, and we're talking about Jesus' resurrection, but he's taking us back to this chapter, chapter 14, rather. And Jesus is trying to get his disciples ready for his death and departure. Let me finish the I ams, and I'll come back to that. Because after I am the way, the truth, and the life, then he is at the island of Patmos, and he's given the entire Bible of entire words from Revelation. And in chapter 1, verse 8, it says, I am, again, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the A and the Z. I'm everything. Well, that put it together, that means all of these I ams, all these signs, are simply to make Jesus larger and more particular, more intimate, so you can begin to see through some of these. Now let's go back to the upper room where Jesus is talking. This scripture has been used many times as a funeral text. You may have heard it at a funeral. There's a phrase, I believe in the Psalms, that says, there's a road that seems good to human beings, but its way leads to death. Here's a piece of a sermon that I gave at a funeral, just to get you in the mood of the room that the disciples are in. I look at the congregation, I look at the family, and they're very sad. I say, all of life is about going out to the place of execution, death. So wrote the great poet-preacher John Donne. And I go on saying, well, it's a sad thought, morbid thought, probably one we shouldn't think about too much, but how can we deny it? We go through our life day after day, and then all of a sudden, we're stopped. One person dies, and we realize we have no abiding city here. That's where the ship comes in. The ship, the church, is taking us from here to our home. Jesus is trying to say to them, look ahead. Don't worry about what you may be thinking. So he begins the chapter saying, why are you despondent? Why are you discouraged? Let not your heart be troubled. And he says, you believe in God, believe then in me. And the word believe means trust, rely, hang on. And to show you how we don't how we need to work on that. I'm in Minnesota. This is a side story on the side. And for you that haven't heard me preach before, I tend to jump, so I'll jump back here, but I'm leaving the room and coming out here for a story. I'm at a wedding in Minneapolis at City Hall. We're at Kathy's sister's on Sunday as we sell our house in California, coming back knowing that we will not have a place to live. We're resilient and happy that the house is sold, but all of a sudden realize when you come back, there will be no place to go. We get our stuff and then put it in the garage. Then we put the garage stuff in an iPod, and then we use our person that offers the sold our house. She says, I will help you find a new place. I didn't quite hear that, but that's what she said. I'm leaving Bob and Jenny's with Kathy's sister in Minneapolis, and I'm looking a little worried, like the disciples are saying, you know, I don't get what you're saying, but what's going to happen? He tells me, take my hand and put them out here, and over here he writes, T-R-U-S-T. Over here he writes, God. And he puts them together. That's believing. Because when he got back, we found a place. We live in that place. Everything has worked out perfectly. And Jesus is simply saying, have I been with you so long you don't know me? I'm here so that there can be a place to go to, because otherwise, without me, there's no future. And so by saying, I am the way, there is no other way. I am the truth. He is the only biggest truth there is. He is life. That without him, we really aren't alive. We never will be alive. It's simply a matter of waiting till the person dies and letting the person go. Or if you believe in the rapture, as was announced, or the end of the world type of thing, which was brought up because of a lot of money. And if you heard that, you notice that Jesus doesn't even know the date. So why should we be talking about the end of the world? But it brought out a Lutheran pastor on television who wrote a book on the rapture and put all the other stuff over there and said, it's only by faith in Jesus Christ that there's any way, truth, or life. Only by his leaving to go to heaven was there a way then provided for eternal life. Only by his return to the Father would he able then to send the Spirit, who will teach the disciples and us everything that he's said and taught. And I'm going to close by simply saying, it's in our hymns, it's in our catechism, it's in our heart. Here's the explanation to the second article that my mother and dad taught me when I was going to confirmation. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, Son of the Father, and true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. And this is where it is so special to me after selling our house and realizing that's just money, but eternal life is Jesus' blood and death. At great cost, Jesus has saved me, redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature. He has freed me from sin, death, and the power of the devil, not with silver and gold, but with his holy and precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, in order that I might be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he has risen from the dead and lives eternally. Amen. John concludes his gospel. Let me just make one more thing. I'm sorry. I'll have you stand. I've had this desire to have the congregation stand at the end of the sermon, which Pastor Mark doesn't do, but I want to have you stand one more time. But before you stand, I want to say this. John concludes his gospel so that you don't miss it by saying in chapter 20, now Jesus did many other signs, not only the seven, not only the miracles that God did in the Old Testament, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing, you may have eternal life in his name. Or he summarizes in the verse that you know, and I'll start walking. Would you start standing? It takes a while to get positioned. I had this in my garage, and I had it up, so if anybody came to the garage, I could always see this, big letters. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Would you bow your hearts and heads at one more benediction? And now may the God of peace, who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you without blemish before his great throne with rejoicing, to the only wise God be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now let us sing. Can you get my bulletin?